That's banjo duo Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn. The song is off their latest album, Echo in the Valley, which tops Billboard's Bluegrass Albums chart this week. Bela and Abigail are married. They're considered the best banjo players in the world, and it was my pleasure to have them both in the studio. Now, I understand for this album, you came to it with a couple of rules, and one of them was any sound on the album had to come straight from you two and only you two. Is that right?
That is right.
And why?
Sometimes you go to see a show, and when you pick up the music, it's like, oh, whoa, this is really different music than what I heard on stage. Mm-hmm. And I think Bela and I really love the aesthetic of sounding like us everywhere all the time. And there's also a point of pride, which that there really aren't banjo duos out there. Mm. And so we wanted to share with people the glory of the sound of the banjo, at least from our perspective. We wanted to be able to share that with people and tell them you don't need more than banjos.
Well, that's one of the other rules, which is only banjos.
Right. And the thing about banjos is a lot of times you hear it and you go, wow, can one person possibly be doing that? And I don't mean that in some like ego-y way. I mean, that's the nature of banjo. It's a lot of repeated notes. And a lot of times you have multiple voices happening inside. With two banjos, we can make a lot of sound and there would be the temptation to listen to it and go, oh, there's probably – you know, some overdubs. Huh. So we like the idea of saying, no, this is just what two banjos can sound like.
Do you think, though, that those rules actually work? Do they help you make a better album?
Limitations are a godsend. Otherwise, you'd just be floating in the sea of possibility. Hmm.
Yeah, I think finding some limitations is how you define art.
You know, it's also a big piece of finding your voice. At least this has been my experience. There was a while in my career where I felt frustrated by my limitations, the things I'm not good at as an artist. When I started getting over that and recognizing the things that I embody so well or that I channel so well, I started understanding my own voice.
But I think that your fans and anyone who would just hear you play would say, Abigail Washburn, what kind of limitations do you have?
I speak Chinese. I love singing in Chinese. I play the banjo. I play clawhammer banjo only. I play a certain style of clawhammer banjo. I sing in a very certain kind of way, a voice that doesn't do everything. So to me, it's very clear.
It's also a way that we're different in that I've tried really hard to do everything that you can do with three-finger style, from traditional to ethnic music and from jazz to classical. And that's part of my identity. But Abigail has a very clear identity. Hers is, I do this, and I focus in on this, and that's me. And that's, in a way, that defines the duo in a lot of ways. I find the things that I can do that fit into that.
I do want to add that I think there's a lot of clarity about who you are as an artist, even though you can do so many things. I would define you as a musician that's trying to show the world and yourself that anything is possible on the banjo.
Does this mean I have to put the garbage out?
Yes, honey. Definitely.
Two married musicians. Let's hear some of the music. How about Over the Divide?
All right. Here we go.
Nickel for your thoughts, love, apple for a dime. See, you got a trouble mind. Isn't it a shame, dear? Wish it wasn't true. Wishing there was something that we all could do. Walking through the deserts, sailing over the seas, sister, brother, refugees. Yeah, 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 oh. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's Over the Divide, and we heard that there's a story to this one.
Yeah, it actually was inspired by the story of a Austrian Jewish sheepherder.
Yodeling
sheepherder.
Uh-huh.
This was at the height of when we were hearing about the Syrian refugee crisis in the news, and we woke up one morning and saw a link to an article about this guy named Hans Brewer. His family was ferried through the night to safety and friends during the Holocaust, and so he got in his minivan and he drove down the unmarked roads that only sheepherders know over the Austro-Hungarian border to the other side and found Syrian families who had walked that far from Syria through the fields. Mm. And he picked them up in his minivan and he took them back over the border undetected to safe places in Austria.
While yodeling.
And the Syrians in the back of his minivan were just having a laugh.
We had already had this instrumental. We were playing at soundcheck every day. And I had this chorus in my mind, isn't it a shame, dear, wish it wasn't true, wishing there was something that we all could do about how we all feel about all the stuff that's coming at us. But we don't do anything a lot of the time.
Or we don't know what to do.
We don't know what to do. Well, it was cool to find somebody who knew what to do.
I'm watching you tell that story, and I can see your body language. You're kind of turned in towards each other. Your husband and wife, I'm sure you get asked this question all the time. But are you better musicians because you live together and you're in sync? Or does that sometimes just even make it harder because, you know, someone made a mess on the bus that day or something?
That is annoying when that happens.
No comment. Why is everyone looking at me?
No, I was trying not to do that.
No, I think on the first record, honestly, we made the record right after our boy Juno was born. And so we really had to work with things we already had. We weren't writing a lot of music. But on this new album, now he's 3 years old and 3 and a half by the time we started working on it. And we really tried to write words together. And it was a really different experience because we didn't always agree about it. It was particularly tough because when someone you love doesn't like your idea, it hurts, and you have to kind of get past that to where the best solution is. But gradually, as we started to find, like, okay, we finally finished a version of this song, Harlan, that we both loved the lyric we came up with, and it was like, hey, we got one, and then we got another one, and then pretty soon we had four of them. It was like, wow, we got four songs that we both really agree, and we had to discard some of the ideas that each of us were very attached to and find the middle ground between us, and that's what relationships are all about.
Well, let's hear what that sounds like. You mentioned Harlan. Mm-hmm. I think the official title is Take Me to Harlan.
Such a long way. There's an echo in the valley. I can hear it calling back to me. My heart is tied to you, love.
That was amazing. I mean, you are both singing and dancing in that song, Abigail.
It's true. It's a special challenge we decided to take on for this record. In fact, that's the way we decide to do a lot of songs. There's some goal,
a challenge,
something you want to rise to that you've never risen to musically before. And in this one, it was definitely doing Appalachian clogging moves, very simple moves that I know, but enough to get into trouble and try to do foot percussion to a song.
Well, I was wondering if you could do me a favor, because my favorite song of yours came off your last album that you did together, your version of Railroad. I was hoping you could play it for us today.
Absolutely.
One, two, three, four. I've been working on the railroad all my little long days. I've been working on the railroad just to pass the time away. Can't you hear the whistle blowing? Rise up so early in the morning. Can't you hear the captain shouting? Dinah, won't you blow your horn? Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow your horn? Viva the Leo, strumming on the open Joe.
I love that song, and the reason that I do is because it is such a traditional song, and yet whatever you're doing there sounds so incredibly fresh. How is it that you innovate in bluegrass like that?
It's an incredibly organic process sometimes. My grandma sang it to my mom when she was going to bed, and my mom sang it to me when I was going to bed, but in the major version, which sounds a bit different from the one we do.
Right. Abby was teaching Juno how to bang on the table when he was maybe 1.5, and she was singing along.
I think he was only like 9 months or something.
Okay, he was 9 months.
Your son, right?
And yeah, but I called home from out on tour, and she said, hey, well, check this out. And she started singing I've Been Working on the Railroad in a minor key while they were banging. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. He's banging on the table. But I've never heard that song done that way before. Huh. I said, honey, we should do something with that. That's a really special thing.
Interesting. It's almost like, you know, music changes as you pass it down through the generation. I mean, it was happening organically there with your child.
That's the folk process.
Yeah. Huh.
And I would argue that if you don't change it, maybe you're not serving the song that well. If you just do it as a museum version of what it's always been, maybe you're not giving it everything you could give it.
That's Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn joining us in the studios and playing some fantastic music. Thank you so much for coming in. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having us, and happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. If you have a little extra time today, you can watch a video that we've produced of Bela and Abigail perform Take Me to Harlan. It's in our studios. You can find it at hereandnow.org.